So let's take a look at stewardship this morning, and this time this class is centered around stewardship of ability. If you learn anything this morning, and that is God gives us ability. Our ability comes from the Lord. He blesses us in that way so that we can bless others. Now, someone might say, well, you know, I went to this university and I have a master's degree and I have a doctor's degree in this, and that's great. But the abilities that's given to us is given to us by God. And we're going to take a look at that this morning. So, don't tune off, even though I said that. If you learned anything this morning, know that your ability to serve others, your ability to serve God, comes from God. Let's take a look at Bible study, how to study the Bible as we go on. Exegesis, to lead out of, bringing out the meaning of any writing. All right, so you open up the Bible, it says something, you believe in what it says, and you take that out, and then it's up to you to apply it to your life, isn't it? Take that Word of God and apply it to your life. Teach others using that Word of God and believing what the Word of God says. So if the Word of God says this and this and this, that's what you believe. All right, now the other thing is called eisegesis. Eisegesis means that you lead into something. So when you study the Word of God, you have a certain feeling about the way the Word of God should be, and when you read that, you put your feelings into that. That causes a lot of spiritual conflict. Because what happens is if I believe something and I take it and I put it into the Word of God, I'll probably come out with the wrong meaning and not what God wants me to learn from that Bible passage. So when we study the Bible in this class or any classes or at home or wherever, make sure that you are concentrating on that number one, that exegesis, that you're allowing the Word of God to talk to you. All right. Next thing I want to talk about is the difference between gifts that God gives us, the abilities that God gives us, and the gifts of the Spirit. If you look in passages, specifically in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What I would like to do is make sure that we separate these two concepts. For those people that just walked in, I proclaimed out loud, that God gives us our abilities. So whatever we can do comes from God. That's the truth. However, we don't want to read into this something that's not there. We don't want to read into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right. So when it comes to miracles, those things that are supernatural, speaking in tongues, healing other people, making prophecies. Look at Mark 16:20. And you look at Mark 16:20, it says that the word was proclaimed for only one reason, that is to confirm the word. So if you have an apostle that walks into a town and he says, I'm from God, he has the ability to show people that he's from God. And then the people can understand where he's coming from, and they can take his word and say, wow, that's the word of God coming from somebody that performs supernatural miracles. Think about Philip in Acts chapter 8. After Philip performed miracles, it says the multitudes gave heed to him. That means they started to listen to him after he performed the miracles. You have to think about this. If spiritual miracles were made to help Christians, to heal Christians, to protect Christians, if miracles were alive today doing that, then God really has dropped the ball, hasn't he? Do we have Christians that are sick? Yeah. Do we have Christians over the centuries that were persecuted? Oh, yeah. So you can't say that miracles, the purpose of miracles was to help Christians and give Christians special supernatural powers and that kind of thing at all. Apostles gave spiritual gifts by laying on of hands in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. If you go back to Acts chapter 8, you have a man named Simon. Simon saw the apostles lay their hands and give spiritual gifts to other people. And after he saw that, he wanted that, didn't he? Remember that story? He wanted that, and he got in trouble. He got rebuked for it because he wanted it for the wrong reason. So he saw those miraculous powers being given, but they were given by the apostles laying their hands on someone. Now, today in this audience right here, we have no apostles. We're apostleless. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, prophecies will fall away. Tongues will cease. Knowledge will vanish away. So Paul tells us that these spiritual gifts that people have in the first century, they're going to go away sometime. He also says that there's going to be something perfect is going to come. And ladies and gentlemen, that which is perfect is the New Testament writings, isn't it? Complete. We have everything that we need. We don't need somebody to stand up and prophesy. We don't need somebody to come up to us and say, hey, in a dream last night, God came to me and said this and this and this. We don't need that at all. We have everything that we need, complete, inside the New Testament writings. Then this morning, I was listening to Phil Sanders on WGN. 7 o'clock in the morning, maybe he'll give me a little money. No, I'm just kidding. 7 o'clock in the morning, WGN, Phil Sanders. Well, anyway, he referenced in his Bible class this morning, he referenced Jeremiah chapter 23, and he talked about how in Jeremiah chapter 23, there's people that said they were prophets, they were prophesying, and God told Jeremiah not to listen to them. They are not real. They are dreaming and making things up in their dreams. So even today we have people like that. I'm sure you might even know somebody. They say that they believe in New Testament miracles and that God talked to them and they prophesy about this and prophesy about that, and they speak in tongues at their church where they go. And those things are absolutely totally made up. So we're not talking about spiritual gifts at all. We're talking about the abilities that God gives us. This is an important statement. God can take ordinary people and do extraordinary things. God can take ordinary people and do extraordinary things. And when I talk about ordinary people, I'm talking about me and you. People that are just, we're just folks. And God can take just plain people and do extraordinary things with us if we allow him to do that. So let's take a look at stewardship. Stewardship is conducting, supervising, or managing something. It comes from a Greek word that means house manager. That's where this whole Bible class this semester is coming from. Is that God expects us to have some kind of responsibility of what he has given us. It could be those things that are spiritual. It could be a position. It could be a job. It could be your family. It could be money. It could be time. And it could be ability. At some point in time, probably the denominational church model, there grew a thought that clergy takes care of spiritual things and their abilities, and the common person is not involved. And so what we need to do is make sure that we break away from that thought. You know, your ability is your ability, and you have a responsibility for your ability. It is not on the hand laid on the shoulders so much of the elders for you to use your ability, or our preachers, or the deacons, but it's on your shoulders to use your ability. It's very personal. And we need to break away from that concept that, well, you know, we have leadership, and they'll take care of it. We have evangelists, they'll take care of the evangelizing. We have deacons, they'll take care of the deaconing. and the elders. That's the wrong concept. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. As each one of you received a gift, minister to it one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace. God gives us our gifts. He gives us those things, our abilities, to bless others. We're going to take a look at when. When does God give us those abilities? And this is really something to think about, okay? That from the beginning of our life, look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn there. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to all nations. Before you were born. God knows us before we're born. Isn't that something? Take a look at Psalm verse 139. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Here the psalmist is saying that God made us. God fastened us inside the womb. God knows us personally from, I guess you call it, from the get-go. We're conceived, we spend 9 months in the womb, and God knows us there. And He's going to give us our abilities. Isaiah 44:24, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and He formed you from the womb. The Bible time and time and time tells us that we are known by God before we are born. He knows who we are going to be. He knows our families. He knows our abilities. And He's going to give us abilities to serve the church and to serve others. I'd like to talk about a small story with a big impact. When we think about abilities, sometimes we think in very, very large terms. The preacher that preaches better than anybody else, or the person who has a special project that has this huge impact on the Lord's church. And those are big things. But take a look at this. This is a very small story. Acts chapter 9, verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. This is the Apostle Paul, who's going to write 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. He was in big trouble. But there's a group of people. We don't know who they are. They could be men and women. They could have been just men. They could have been. We don't know. But they saw fit to get a basket, somehow get some kind of rope or something, and put Paul in the basket and let him down. Very, very small story. But think about the impact of those very, very, very somewhat, I guess, simplistic way of doing something. And those people probably were just folks. They were disciples. And they saw a need for Paul to be free and rescued. And they did that. They stepped up and did that. So it's a small story with a big impact. Look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In this book, we have Paul talking about those things that are spiritual gifts. And he also emphasizes this fact. He says that we are all together, that there's not a spiritual gift that is more important than another person's spiritual gift. And that's valid today. One person's ability is not so much important than another person's ability. Let's say someone is a gifted speaker, and that person becomes an evangelist, a preacher. And he has that ability to communicate. He has the ability to take the Word of God and communicate it to a mass amount of people so they all can hear it and believe it. But that person's ability is just the same as somebody else's ability. The ability to buy groceries for a widow. The ability to take a car and drive somewhere and make sure they get to Bible class or get to worship on time. In God's eyes, these abilities are equal, and everyone has an important part in the kingdom. And we should never, ever, ever feel that something is so small that it's insignificant. Think about the disciples that put Paul in that basket. Some small story and a big impact. So take heed of Paul's words and how this impacts us in our attitude. Also, this attitude. Turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourself. Let each of you look at not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. When we have our abilities and we decide this is what I'm going to do for the word of, for the church, this is what I'm going to do for Christian people, this is what I'm going to do for our community, this is what I'm going to do to spread the gospel throughout the world. When I get that down, I have to make sure that I have the right attitude, that I'm not doing anything for who? For myself. That I put other people's interests first in my mind and in my heart. Think about the story that Jesus told in Luke 18. In Luke 18, there was two people. There was a tax collector and a Pharisee. The tax collector, were they popular people in the New Testament times? They weren't, were they? And the tax collector and the Pharisee went to the temple. And that story goes on. It says that at the end, because the tax collector wouldn't even raise his head or his eyes to God, he had that such a humble attitude that he was the one that went away from the temple blessed, not the Pharisee. Do you remember what the Pharisee said? Pharisee said that he fasts twice a week, and he says that he gives tithes all the time. Kind of boisterous, wasn't it? Fast twice a week. I don't fast twice a week. Actually, I like to eat, I think. And so I don't fast, but he says he fasts twice a week. But yet, because of the attitude of the tax collector, he left the temple blessed by God, not the Pharisee. And we have to remember, even though we are endowed with these abilities, we are totally dependent on God. Look at our first verse there, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If we have that need for wisdom, God says, pray to him, and wisdom will come. Do you do that? Do you pray for wisdom? I do that. I pray for wisdom. It could be different situations. It could be with the eldership. But yeah, it's important. How about James 1:17? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God above. What about Acts 17:18? For him, in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of you poets have said, we are also his offspring. God gives different abilities to different people. Moses was qualified to be a great leader, wasn't he? He was an awesome leader, taking millions of people out of Egypt and heading for the promised land, following what God said to do. But yet he himself said he can't speak. He did not have that ability. He wasn't going to get up in the pulpit and preach, was he? Mm-mm. Didn't have that ability. Somebody else had to do it. Wasn't going to be Moses. But Moses was known as a great and awesome leader. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Flip over to Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So this person here has this ability, and this person here has this ability, and maybe they're not the same. And that's absolutely part of God's design. God's design is that this person can take care of these things in the kingdom, and this person can take care of these things in the kingdom. God's design. Look in the book of Exodus, chapter 31. It talks about building the tabernacle. And God is giving the people there the ability for construction. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, artistic works, work with gold, silver, bronze, cutting jewels, carving wood. As I look over the audience this morning, I can't help but see your face and know some of the things that you do for the Lord's church. I can't help it. And, you know, my mind goes immediately over to Dirk Sommerlott and his cooking ability and how he blesses people with awesome pulled pork and things like that and chicken. And now his son has taken over and his son has that ability. Awesome. But what a blessing that is for the congregation of God's people. Let's go ahead and take a look at the parable of the talents. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Starting in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he had received 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also had one received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter in the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he with abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There was a sin here. What was the sin? Doing nothing. A remarkable statement, verse 21. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. All of us will come before Christ in Christ's judgment seat. All of us. Doesn't matter if you're Christian or Buddhist or Muslim. Doesn't matter if you live in the United States or India or China. It doesn't matter. Every person is going to have to give an account of their life in front of Jesus Christ. I think all of us want Jesus to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we want, isn't it? And so when we talk about using our abilities for God, think about that. What would be your ultimate goal? It probably should be that you're going to come before Christ and he's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Then we have another one. Take a look over to Luke chapter 10. Starting in verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to an innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" The reason I put this passage in here was not really the story of the Good Samaritan. But the question is, who did the work of God? Those that ignored their ability, or the person that used his ability? It had to be the person that used his ability. All right, let's take a look at some Bible characters. First Bible character didn't want to use his ability, and that's Jonah. If you look in Jonah chapter 1, the very, very beginning, it says that God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. But instead of going to Nineveh, Job went to a town called Tarshish. He did not do what God wanted, did he? And then he paid a price for it. So, what abilities does Jonah have? Jonah has, persuasion. He did go to Nineveh sooner or later. Preaching. And fishing, I would say he has that ability too. He used himself as bait. How about Noah? I put parenting down for Noah, because didn't his kids get to go on the ark also? Yeah, parenting. I put down engineering. What did he build? He built the ark. Goodness, that is a lot of engineering. Craftsmanship. He and his family built the ark. Preaching. As he was building the ark, he preached to those people that are around him. They did not heed the word at all, and they were not saved. And organizing. I thought about organizing the animals, and it, not just going into the ark, but what about after they're in the ark? And the organization and the logistics that had to be inside the ark. Abraham, again, had the ability of organization. Led his people from one land and into the promised land. How about devotion? Abraham had great devotion to God, to the point where he was going to take a knife and stab his own son. Steward of wealth. Abraham was known as a wealthy person, and he used his wealth greatly and for the right purposes. And also Abraham had great foresight. He understood his position in the world, and that from his seed, God is going to bless the world. Moses, great leadership. He did talk, didn't he? He did preach the word of God, and especially to Pharaoh. Shepherding. And also he was a steward of God's laws, wasn't he? He took care of God's laws, made sure people followed him. I thought of King David. King David's ability, athleticism. Can you think of any animals that David killed? I mean, lion? I mean, who's doing that? I mean, that is really something. Also in the battles that David fought and won, planning, tactician, leadership, musicianship. What instrument did David play? The harp. And songwriting. The words that we read, a lot of the words we read in the book of Psalm come from David, don't they? I thought of the Apostle Paul. Tent making. He was a tent maker. Soul winning. He was a great soul winner. Preaching. Communicating. Exhorting. Church planting were the abilities that God gave to Paul. But we all must give an account to God. Unused talents degenerate. What if you're a song leader, and for some reason, whether you're ignored or you're sick or something, and you don't sing, you don't lead singing? What would happen to your voice? Those people, Jerry's a song leader. If you don't use your voice, do you lose it? Lose that ability? Right, so if we have a talent, if we have some kind of ability that God gave us, and we don't use that ability, we're going to lose it over time. Unused talents degenerate. We are responsible for our talents. God can use all of us and our talents. We are partners with God. I think it was David Sproul that referenced this in 1 Corinthians 3:9. God can use you right now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to put something on the back burner. But God can use us right now. And also, what do you want to reap? Look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, What we sow, we reap. I mean, you don't even have to be a Bible-believing Christian to understand this concept. What you sow is what you're going to reap out of life. So when you think about your ability for God, think about how much you're going to sow and how much you're going to reap from using that. Connecting our abilities to works. For some reason, somehow, I'm not sure how, at some point in time, somebody took works and somebody took faith and said these things don't jive together. And that's absolutely unbiblical. They do jive together. There is not a war between faith and works at all. And so let's take a look at some passages. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are created for good works. So if you meet somebody and they say, oh, you believe that works saves you? You say, works don't save me, but I do know that why I'm created. I'm created for good works. James 2:17 points out that works without faith is dead, or faith without works is dead. I can have a dead faith if I'm not putting works to it. We will be judged by our works. Those things that we do here on earth, we're going to be judged by those things. Revelation chapter 22, God knows our works. And so if you have something that you think is just small and insignificant that you're doing for the kingdom of God, just know that your God in heaven knows exactly what you're doing. It is a good work. And what God wants from us, two things. Colossians chapter 3 says that we are created to bless others. We have ability to bless others. And also the ability to build his kingdom for his glory. What keeps us from using our abilities? Low self-esteem. Tragedy in our society, I believe, very, very strong tragedy, is people that walk around with low self-esteem. Whether it comes from the family life or friends or actually just their own outlook on themselves. There's people that have low self-esteem, And people with low self-esteem generally are not going to go out and push the envelope and do something big for God. Use their ability. Weak motivation. Sitting home and watching TV, I think, is probably a killer when it comes to working for God, isn't it? You know, I'm not saying I don't watch TV. I do. Watched National Geographic this morning, getting ready for Bible class. Focusing on wrong qualities. There was a guy that, this Thomas guy, he works for a corporation that helps businesses out. And one thing that he points out is that a lot of times when people fail at something, it's because they did not take themselves and focus on an abilities that they have, that they thought they had. And it kind of reminds me of American Idol. You remember American Idol? In the beginning of American Idol, there's always those people, I guess it was their mom or grandma, that told them that they can sing, you know, and they stand up there, and then the judges, you know, their jaws are dropped open because this person right there, they can't sing at all, you know. But somehow, whether themselves or their family member, pushed them into American Idol and said, "You can do it, honey. You're the best. You're special. Your voice is tremendous." And they get up there and they fail. Singing is not their ability. But yet, somehow they were convinced that. So when we take a look at our abilities, we really got to concentrate on things that we can do. And, yes, Han. Yeah. That's a very good friend. Yeah. Fear. All right. Let's take a look at things that we can do. Lead singing. Everybody? No. You don't see me up there leading singing. The ability to speak and promote the cause of Christ. Yes. Everybody can do that. Ability to teach the Bible. Yes. But ability to teach the gospel. The ability to encourage others. Barnabas was known as a great encourager. You can be a Barnabas. The ability to make money and manage it well. Look in, we don't have time, but Deuteronomy chapter 8 talks about that. That God blesses some people with the ability to make money. And so is there anything wrong with being rich? No. But use that wealth to help others in the kingdom of God. The ability to cook. That's a good one, the ability to cook. The ability to use social media. We have people that make posts, spiritual posts. And my mind has to go to Brittany Thompson. Her spiritual posts are awesome. And so I just texted her a couple days ago and I said, "Your spiritual posts on Facebook are so awesome. We want more, more, more." And she said, "I was just going to do that." The ability to clean and organize. For your wife? Nope. This is what I was thinking, though. You have someone who may be older and cannot bend down like they used to and clean the house like they used to, and maybe you or younger people can do that, and so I thought about cleaning and organizing. All right, that's all we have. Thank you so much.